It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call, 343-0106, or send us a text to that same number, 343-0106. Show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer. Also by Alabama Pipe and Supply, Atmore Dragway, SMR Automotive, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Yes, the fabulous Seafood Shed.
Oh, yeah. Good vittles. Good vittles.
Great vittles.
Yeah, there's no point in eating seafood here on the Gulf Coast and it not being fresh seafood.
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
I'm going over Thursday night. They got some kind of a band deal or something over there, and a comedian band type. Yeah, I'm going to go over there on Thursday nights just to see what that deal is.
That'll work.
It's supposed to be. Some people was over there and said they had a blast, man. It was really neat.
It's always a good time, I'm sure.
Hoot, shoot, yeah.
But let's see. Talking about our sponsors, we got Atmore Dragway. They took this past weekend off for Thanksgiving holiday and the Alabama and Auburn game. We get a roll tide on that one, I believe.
Hoorah. Yes.
So they'll be back playing a little bit this weekend. They've got they're the last two races of the year. It'll be December 2nd and December the 9th. Test and Tune, Run With Your Brung Grudge races. Tracks opened at 1 p.m., hot track at 2 p.m. So both weekends.
Yes.
So
awesome racing up there. That, you know, it's the Sunday afternoon deal.
Yep.
If you want to just go see some good races and sit around and watch the human race and how they act with the grudge racing, you will have a blast.
Yeah, it's it gets entertaining.
Oh,
it really does.
I watch the human race.
It's
just neat.
Yeah. It's a bigger rat race, I guarantee you.
So, yeah. Hey, they put on a show, though. Those guys are, you know, out there and racing each other and all that, you know. They don't care. They don't care who's listening or what's going on, baby. They're going to put on their show.
I agree 100%. You know,
and they got some big dollar bucks out there running those grudge race cars.
They're moving some money around, and they're bringing some real hot rods out there, too.
You think the boys on TV on the Memphis and all that's got some grudge races going on? Go to Atmore on Sunday afternoon.
Atmore, it's funny because those guys come down here from time to time, and one of them come to Gulfport here a couple weeks ago and got it beat by a local boy.
Well, reckon what happened to the guy with the big Mustang, Mike, came down here to Atmore, and he got beat twice, but, you know, two different people.
Yeah.
They're going, what? So, and the old guy said that the boss got mad and left. Well, I couldn't understand why, you know, because the Alabama boy spanked his butt.
You know, and it's been that way. Yeah, I've been around a lot of racing around this area. They take racing serious around here. You know, if you're going to come down here and run with the guys that run at the drag strip or the round track in this area, you better bring some good stuff.
You better be locked and loaded when you got here, baby. Because it's going to be all heads up on the firing line.
I remember years ago when the All Pro Series raced down here at Mobile, and we had some big names running that series, and you know, they would come down. The Allisons would run it, and there's some big NASCAR drivers come down and run. And Gerald Wilkson, our local racer from around here, went down there and sat on the pole with a car that wasn't even built to the same specs that theirs was.
Oh no,
It was more of a limited late model than a late model, and basically had that race won until somebody just couldn't stand getting outrun by him and took him out right there at the very end of it.
Really? They wouldn't do that, would you?
Yeah. So it was.
I can remember Red Farmer when Red Farmer would come down here, and all those guys would come down here, the Allisons and Neil Bonnet and what have you. They're gonna come down here and spank everybody's butt.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't necessarily do that.
No, not necessarily. And, you know, they had some competition when they got there. No doubt.
Are we going to fix any cars tonight?
We're going to give it a shot. Might as well try.
How many texts you got there?
No texts yet. So if y'all got any questions, give us a call or send us a text. But You know, that's what we're here for.
I know you're a big Chevrolet man. Let me ask you a Ford question.
Okay.
A 99 F-350 Ford, mm-hmm. old Power Stroke.
Yep.
Diesel is hard to start, and it's got real low power.
Yep. And, you know, it was these things have a different type injection system on them. They're actually the injectors are controlled with oil pressure, high pressure oil. They are electrically excited, but the fuel is actually driven in by an oil pressure to actually move a mechanical part inside the injector itself. And the seals were leaking around one of the injectors and dropping that pressure, not letting it build like it should, and it was lowering, making it hard to start, and it finally would wind up enough to get enough pressure up to crank, and then it was just a low power condition because it never could really build like it should.
So does that go back to just low oil pressure or lack of maintenance on oil pressure, oil changes and filter changes and things of that nature or what?
Yes and no. You know, and they get to a point where, you know, rubber, it degrades from the time that it's made. So it's continuously hardening every day. Okay. But once it gets enough age on it that it's going to get hard and it's not going to seal like it should. And it's not really a oil pressure problem as far as the oil pressure that's lubricating the motor. It's the high pressure oil pump that has the issue. Yeah.
Well, we are talking about 19 years old vehicle, I bet the mileage wasn't checked on it to see how many hundreds of thousands of miles it had on it.
Yeah, it's unusual to see one, especially a diesel like that. Those trucks are usually worked pretty hard, and it's going to have over 200,000 miles on it, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, what about running a diesel hot, you know, getting excessive heat in? A diesel's got to run right like 210 degrees or, you know, right at boiling point of water.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason it's so critical for the thermostats and all and radiator caps and all to work correctly on them. Mm-hmm. But could running it hot, the excessive heat cause those seals to harden as well?
And it can accelerate the wear. So it can make it to where it gets harder quicker. So and, you know, excessive heat is never good for any motor.
Oh, nothing, yeah.
You know? And, like I say, these things are so high in compression ratio and the boost you're putting to them and everything, they don't like heat. You know, they got to get hot to run, but then you can't let them get out of control.
So it can be a problem if running one a little bit excessive hot.
Right.
And maintenance, in oil changes and things of that nature could be detrimental as well.
Yeah, I mean, because these things, they actually, even though they take a large amount of oil, they have to still be maintained on a regular basis every 3,000 to 5,000 miles. So it gets expensive to keep up. But we do have a caller online. Caller, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
And what can we do for you?
Yes, sir. I have a question having to do. I have a 2000 Chevrolet Impala.
Okay.
And my engine light will not go off. I've taken it several times to have it worked on. They've changed the spark plug wires. They've changed the mass airflow, something. They've changed the ignition switches, if I've got it right, the term right.
Yeah.
But it will not go off.
Huh. Do you know what code it's setting?
I do not.
Yeah. You know, I'd have to see what code it's got. If they're doing plugs and wires and maybe even mass airflow, I would suspect a misfire code, but
I've replaced those things too.
Yeah. Yeah. If that's been what they've going towards, then I would suspect that, you know, a misfire code would be my guess is why they're going there. But, I don't know. That's hard to say for sure. I'd have to, you know, without knowing what code it is, it kind of limits what I can guess at there.
Right. Well, it did have the misfire codes.
Uh-huh.
And they replaced the, I don't know, what are those, that little round thing that has three round things. And they replaced the plate behind it. They replaced the mass airflow, whatever it is.
Right.
and spark plugs and all that stuff, and it's still, as soon as I got on interstate, it came right back on.
Yeah. Sounds like it may very well be a EGR valve. But like there again, without knowing what code, it's a total guess. Yeah.
Right.
Around that time period, the EGR valves were, they were trying to control them a little differently, and they would have a bad spot in the sensor, and it would sit there and fluctuate around, causing misfires and causing, check engine lights and that to come on. So, you know, it's, if you get a chance to find out what the code is, then I may can point you in a little better direction.
Okay. Where's the shop at?
I'm at UJ Chevrolet.
Okay.
So out on Airport Boulevard, not far from Childers, and come see us. We can see what's going on.
Yeah, give him a call. Yeah, give him a call and ask for Kevin.
Okay.
All right. Appreciate your call. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in. Sounds like we've run up to our break time. We're gonna let you hear from our fine sponsors, and we'll be back.
Let me tell the story. I can tell it all. About the mountain boy who ran illegal alcohol. His daddy made the whiskey, son he drove low. When his engine roared, they called the highway Thunder Road. Sometimes into Asheville, sometimes Memphis town. The revenueers chased him, but they couldn't run him down. Each time they thought they had him, his engine would explode. He'd go by like they were standing still on Thunder Road.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49. And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call, 343-0106, or send us a text to that same number. Speaking of text, let's see, we got... Michelle, Rapid Ray's daughter, what product is good for rubber seals around a sunroof? A silicone spray is good for weather strips and that. You basically just put it on a spray it on. Don't spray it on the car. Just take and spray it into a rag and wipe it around that seal. The key thing with all that is keep it clean. Don't let gunk and stuff build up on it. It is rubber. It's going to deteriorate, so eventually it will have to be replaced somewhere down the road. Hopefully it's a long ways down the road, and the more you can keep it inside, the better off it is.
Does that really lubricate it, or does it make the
– It's more of a
– Will the rubber last longer or what?
It's more of it's going to make the rubber last longer. Okay. It just keeps the rubber lubricated to where it's not deteriorating. It's basically like putting wax on the paint. Yeah.
If you had a squeaky door hinge, mm-hmm. would you use that too or what?
No, I usually use a HVC, which is it's basically it sprays out as a liquid but turns to grease when it dries.
Okay.
And we use a little bit different product for that kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, that the deal that you was telling the Rapids daughter there about, is that something that you would use around your door, the rubbers around your doors? And
any of the weather strips, it works. It works well on the window channels and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I use it on that quite a bit. You can wipe it on the door opening seals and all that kind of stuff.
Would you put that in that track where what do you call it, fuzzy looking stuff in there?
Oh, the window
yeah.
channel?
Yeah. You know, channels.
Yeah, the window channels. Yeah.
Yeah,
and we use that on that a lot. We'll have a car come in once in a while. My window's moving really slow, or it doesn't want to go upright or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, the weather strips have not been lubricated and taken care of. So, get in there and lubricate the window's got to run up and down. That motor's only going to be able to move so much. You know.
Well, what if it will WD-40 and stuff like that, will that hurt the rubber or what?
It can degrade the rubber at times. You know, that's not really the right product for that. It will work, but, if you use too much of it, you can start hurting the rubber, because it's a mineral-based product, and it can start to hurt the rubber after a while.
Okay. So. Yeah, well, that WD-40 will dry out, won't it?
Yeah, and it does, and it doesn't stay there very long. Where silicone stays on there better. So
okay,
but yeah, it's just a better product for it. But we got another message here. When you hook up a portable battery charger to charge a car battery, can you leave the terminals connected, or do you disconnect the negative terminal?
That's when you're talking about plugging it in, I would guess.
Well, and that's, can you actually charge the battery with it hooked to the car still? And you can. We do it all the time. But, you know, it's always safer to unhook. But I don't really like to power down a vehicle unless I need to, because there's a lot of things that have to go through a relearn procedure and that when you power them down. AC actuators are one of them that may work fine right now, but as soon as you kill the power to it and have to hook it back up, you may have issues. So
you're talking about changing the battery?
Well, that's to charge the battery.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's just
so in other words, a totally dead battery.
Well, if it's totally dead,
can it reset a lot of your radios and stuff like that now or not?
Well, it depends on if it's totally, totally dead. If it's still got a little bit of power, it's the radio should still
stay active
and keep some memory there.
Okay.
But if you unhook it or if it completely goes dead, yeah, it's gonna reset anyway, so it's not gonna matter. Yeah. And depending on what kind of battery charger you have.
So what you said, it's gonna reset anyway, so you don't have to worry about that stuff resetting itself anymore?
Well, yeah, you still got to worry. That's why I don't like disconnecting.
If you change
them.
A battery.
Yeah. I don't, well, I mean, even if you kill the battery completely, it'll have to go through a relearn procedure as it, or a rehome procedure, because it's got to find its location.
It's got to find its home.
It's got to find home.
And the
basically.
Computers.
Right. It's got to find the upper and lower limit so it knows where it's operating.
In reality, it can reset itself.
It can reset itself as long as there's not a problem. Yeah.
Okay. Go
if there's
two
something
questions.
Wrong, if there's two. Something wrong with an actuator, it will fail, and you will not either have a hot or cold or blowing out the right vents or something. So
then, what are you going to do?
You're going to spend a lot of money and get an actuator replaced.
So,
yeah.
So you can't reprogram that?
Nope. Not if it's an actuator. It's bad.
Now, actuator being for the benefit of people, what's an actuator?
Well, all your electronic, all your AC controls are electronic, and it uses an actuator motor to drive the doors. So,
but now there's more than one of those in a car.
Yes, there are, and depend on the car. You know, there's 3, 4, 5, 6. Depends on what kind of system it has. You know. So there's multiple actuators that have to go through a relearn procedure.
But all that being said and everything being given, if you had to change a battery out and you didn't put a battery in there to keep the voltage on it, like your cigarette lighter or whatever, then computers will reset themselves. Now, does that cover is that all computers, or does that, like, after 2012 or what, or somewhere
in
there?
It depends on the vehicle. I mean, there's we had electric actuators on AC controls back in the early 90s, you know, so and pretty much everything since, you know, the mid to late 90s had electronic actuators.
So there's not kind of no deadline or year that we're really looking at.
You know, most of the cars we're dealing with on the road now, you know, we're going to have, you know, electronic actuators running the systems. There's still some out there that have the vacuum actuators on them, but there's just a few of them now. More into a classic car now, something that's closer to 30 years old.
Benefit of some of the people that have been there, you're talking about an actuator.
Mm-hmm.
That sometimes it has to do with either the heat and or the air condition,
right.
And it's those are mounted underneath the dash,
right?
And so sometimes when they'll start clicking, right?
Yep.
And then your air conditioning is either not working right or your heat's not working right, and you're hearing that click in there.
Yeah, if it's a constant clicking noise, it's done. You're not going to get it to relearn.
Stick a fork in it.
It's done. Yeah.
Okay.
But the one they're talking about to charge the battery is a 2001 Toyota RAV4, and I really don't see any problem with hooking a charger to it and charging it up with the battery connected. Should not be an issue whatsoever. So just, you know, be careful, make sure you're hooking it up properly. You never want to hook it up backwards.
Right.
And you know, if you do not have a smart charger that senses the battery voltage and decides whether it's safe to turn on,
yeah,
you can do some damage if you've got an older charger that doesn't do that.
And or you know that your charger ends haven't been changed, and the red's on a black end, and the black's on a red end.
Or like half of them that all that's fallen off of them or whatever.
Yeah. But, okay.
And it's you just got to be careful with it. And if you do have a smart charger, there actually has to be some voltage to charge the battery. It will never charge a battery that it doesn't see some kind of voltage out of to be able to determine if it's hooked up correctly. Yeah, I have actually had to take and hook a jump box or jumper cables or whatever to a battery, get some voltage in it, and hook the charger up and let it start charging. And then once it starts to charge, you can unhook all that and it'll go ahead and charge the battery. So
that's a new one. Yeah.
Yeah. But usually once you get them totally dead like that, they're probably not long for this world anyway.
No. Well, that being said, this cold weather out here is going to cause you, some people to have some battery problems.
Oh, there's going to be battery issues, I promise you, because we've been changing them left and right.
Yeah. I would think so. Yeah.
It's just the time for it. Our first real cold snap, and it's, the batteries are dying. I put one in my truck.
Well, and don't look for those $35, $40 batteries anymore, guys.
No.
The signs that I'm seeing on batteries in different places is somewhere around, I think the bottom price now on a battery is like $75, right at $75, $80.
You're doing good to get one for less than $100. I mean, $100 is pretty much an average.
Yeah. I heard somebody talk about the other day they bought a battery for $150, and I went, well,
we've got some in some of our cars that are $250.
Come a long way, haven't they?
Yeah. Really?
But, you've got cars with start-stop technology, and you're shutting it off at every red light, and you're keeping everything powered up and going.
Are those batteries 12-volt batteries?
They're 12-volt batteries. Batteries.
They're larger batteries, which would have more amps.
It has more storage capacity.
Okay, deep charge.
Well, more. No, not really deep charge, but it has the storage capacity, which is the amp hours. That can control that.
Too many electronics.
Anyway, yep. So we're gonna take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Roadhouse in Texas, a little place called Hamburger Dan. I stuck me a quarter in the jukebox, and I played the song The Truck Driving Man. Then the waitress, she brought me some coffee. I thanked her and I called her back again.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. Have any questions, give us a call or send us a text to 343-0106. We were talking about start-stop and all that kind of stuff on some of the newer cars. And out of UJ, we have a very large selection right this minute. We've been stocking up here for the end of the year. We expect to move a bunch of vehicles here towards the end of the year.
Hey, I've been hearing a lot of dealers talk about they still got some 18 models there in trucks and Suburbans and Tahoes and what have you.
Yeah,
stuff like that. You guys still got some of that on hand?
We've got quite a few. We've got a bunch of 18 trucks still there on purpose. We've actually been buying them from some other dealers and that, trying to
get more exposure,
pump our inventory up sales, and keep a good selection. And
still under new vehicle warranty.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're all under full factory warranty. So it's a great selection, a great deal. They've got some really good incentives on the 18s. The cars and trucks.
I see they're talking about, some of the dealers talking about $10,000-$12,000 discount on some of those trucks.
Yeah, you have to qualify for, but and there's certain criteria, but there's some big money out there, potentially to have as a a rebate on these things.
If you get $10,000-$12,000 off the top price on a pickup truck, that's a good lick.
Yeah. Yeah, and people don't realize how, you know, it's all about the incentives when you're talking about discounts on a vehicle because, you know, the dealer itself is not making that much off of it. There's not that much room or markup in on our end of it. You know, if the manufacturer puts the rebates out there to get them moving.
Right.
So it's
move them off the lot so you can make way for the new ones.
Well, I mean, we've got the 19s coming out, and here we've got a pretty fair selection of the 19 trucks out as well. Plus, we've got quite a few of the cars and SUVs 19s on the lot. You know, the new 19 truck, it's a very neat truck. You know, it's got a lot of new features, and I can't even talk completely intelligently about it because I haven't had a chance to play with one that much yet. But I did hear that they may be selling my demo out from under me here shortly.
Uh-oh.
So I may get a chance to play with
you
one.
You might get
more.
A chance to play with a 19 then. Well, how about, aren't the computers more sophisticated and do more things and have all the navigation stuff in them and the Bluetooth and what have you?
Yeah, the electronics are getting really, really out there on these things. They've got so much capability with the backup camera and the full 360 view cameras, you know, for backup where you can see all the way around your car. It's got a picture basically looking above your car and everything that's around it.
Hmm.
It takes individual pictures around the car and it puts it together and gives you a complete picture.
Oh, a 360.
Yeah. So it's a
panoramic view.
Yeah, yeah. it's some neat stuff. It really is. There's a lot of great features on the new ones. Safety is just out there. You know, we've got the 19 Camaro. The body's been updated a little bit on it. It's a neat looking car. I like the updates they've done on it. Not to mention the new lineup of the powertrain for the pickups. Yeah, they've really expanded the power on it with different options. So,
do they have a computer on board that tells some drivers, "Hey, pay attention"?
Believe it or not, they do.
Oh. So,
Charlie, we need one of them.
I'm telling you, wake up! You know, this
like
is
say,
nap
on,
time.
On the lane assist function on the vehicles, if it senses that you're not touching that steering wheel, it will tell you to take hold of the steering wheel.
Oh, it'll keep me from hitting those little runners on the side and.
Well, it'll keep you in the lane, but then if it sees that you're not helping steer that thing, it's going to tell you, "Hey, wake up and get."
Oh, my Lord. Okay, they probably wouldn't let me drive.
I got a friend that needs that badly.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
But it looks like we got a caller online. Caller, are you with us?
Yes.
What can I do for you?
All right. I got a 2011 Tahoe.
Mm-hmm.
I started making a ticking sound here last week or two or three, I guess.
Yeah.
And this morning I went out to crank it, and it just looked like it exploded. So I had an 2009 Tahoe that had a ticking sound. Kind of just like those lifters going out.
Right.
Yeah, you know, they were able to get it to a Chevrolet place, and they basically GM subsidized, and it was barely out of warranty, and helped us out on it. But this thing, like it was a gunshot this morning.
Really?
And I didn't try to recrank. I just let, I mean, how come I didn't ever work? But.
Right. Yeah, it's hard to say what that would be, because usually even if it's a lifter problem, that's usually not going to do something drastic like that.
It sounds like a bomb.
Yeah, you know it. You may have more problems than that. Then, how many miles do you have on it?
230,000.
Yeah.
Dang! Had it broke in.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a little out of warranty on that one.
Oh yeah, 35,000 over warranty.
Yeah. Yeah. But seems like to me that the Chevrolet or these GMs are rampant with these lifters going out in these cars. Because I had one in 2009 and did the same thing.
Right.
And, you know, it amazes me that he paid, this vehicle was $52,000 brand new. Now, I know it's got a lot of miles on it, but my last one only had barely over 100 and it started doing it.
Right.
So it's corporate greed is what it is, but about them not recalling these engines and fixing them.
Well, you know, and everybody has their own opinion on that. But, you know, honestly, we don't see as much of it as you'd think. you know, when they put millions of trucks out there, and you have trouble with, you know, a small percentage of them, then, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that all of them are bad, you know.
Well, it's ironic that I've had two happen to me, exact same Tahoes, mm-hmm. just different year models.
You're catching the percentages, aren't you?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean,
I just didn't know I guess it's too many miles to have GM do anything about it.
Yeah, no, that's well outside of any kind of goodwill assistance or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's well beyond anything like that.
Does that thing have a timing chain set up in the front of it?
They
that
do.
Could mess up like that?
Yeah, we have next to no trouble. I have a feeling that the ticking noise he was hearing was not necessarily a lifter, but more along the lines of a rod bearing or something else that maybe gave up. Because I just don't see a lifter doing that. Or maybe it broke right. a valve spring and dropped a valve and
Then the valve hit the piston or something like that.
Destroyed itself, you know. But
from the explosion, it sounded like it broke a rod or
something bigger than a lifter.
Sucked a rod out of a piston there or something.
Yeah that sounds like something. A loud sound.
Yeah, something bigger than a lifter happened in that one.
Well, you know, if you wanted to put a used motor in there, those things, I understand they're running, what, about $1,000, $1,100 for some of those motors?
No, you won't get one for anywhere near that.
You won't?
No. Yeah, you're closer to $2,000 for used.
No, I haven't taken it in, but I called a local shop that used around $5,000 or $6,000, I think.
Ooh. Yeah. I understand.
That's for a rebuilt one or
for a used one? By the time you get a used one in there or a factory or a reman, maybe. But
I think it was a reman, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, I appreciate you calling in.
Thank you.
We got another caller online.
Yeah, this might be a wrong number. I don't know.
Let's see. Caller, are you with us? Hello, caller.
Hello.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Okay, what can we do for you?
Do you have a way that you can test an injector to see if it bleeds down?
I'm sorry, can you get a little closer to your phone? I barely hear you.
Do you have a way that you can test an injector to see if it bleeds down?
You talking about a gas burner or a diesel?
Yes, a gas burner. I have an LS motor, an 05 Chevrolet truck.
Yeah.
And I was getting a misfire on a couple of cylinders and determined it to be an injector. We replaced coils, plugs, wires, whatnot. Anyway, it was the injector. So crazy me goes and buys a whole set of reman injectors.
Right.
And I replace the whole set. But now what's happening is when I drive the truck, it runs better, it doesn't miss. But when I stop and park it and it sits for an hour or so, it appears that the injectors bleed down into the cylinders, and when I go to crank it back up, it's very, very hard to start. Man. Now, if it sits overnight, it fires right up.
Yeah.
But if it sits for an hour or so, it's like it bleeds down and fills those cylinders up with fuel. And I was wondering if there's a way to determine which cylinders it is so that I can replace those injectors.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say, you know, about the only way you can do it is to pull the fuel, you know, crank it, run it, shut it off, and immediately pull the fuel rail out and, you know, I usually stick like a shop towel or something under them and watch it, give it 10, 15, 20 minutes and come back and look and see if which one has leaked fuel through it. I feel like you may have some other problem other than the injectors, but it is very possible that that's the problem.
Well, this problem started when I put those reman injectors.
Yeah. And I'm not a big fan of reman injectors or off-brand injectors because the flow rates are usually not what they should be, you know. If it's a diesel, I'm fine with a rebuilt injector. But a gas burner, you're better off with the original equipment. New injector.
Right.
Yeah.
The problem is to replace 8 injectors, you're looking at $1,000.
Yeah. I understand. You know, and it's, you know, that's usually why I don't try and replace them as sets either, you know, but, you know, right. sometimes it's not a bad idea. I mean, don't get me wrong. You didn't do anything wrong, you know. But, yeah, your best bet is probably to crank it and run it, and as soon as you shut it off, you know, be there with the tools to take the couple bolts out that hold the fuel rail in and pick it up just enough to not pull the injectors out of the rail, but pull the injectors out of the intake and set a rag under them and see if see which one's actually leaking. Yeah. Other than that, you know, it's kind of hard to isolate which one. I mean, you can hook fuel gauges and fuel line block offs to it and determine whether a injector is leaking. But you know, as far as finding which one it is, you got to get in there and physically check them.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling in. And,
okay. And let's go pick up Van on line one.
Okay. Van, you with us?
Hey, yes, sir. Good evening, guys.
Hey.
I got a quick question about my wife's vehicle. She has a 2011 Toyota Sienna minivan, and it's been a great vehicle. We bought it new in 2011, but it has the Takata airbags in that vehicle. Now, we've gotten a lot of notification from, I guess, directly from Toyota. We bought it here locally in Mobile, but we've taken it to the dealership several times, and there hasn't been anything about any talk about replacing the airbags or anything like that. From what I understand, that once those things get beyond about 5 years is when they tend to be problematic, and I'd hate for my wife and kids to be driving down the road and those things just, you know, decide to open up on them. Is that something of significant issue that we need to have corrected as soon as possible? We still have the vehicle.
Right.
Toyota's been trying to buy it back from us for quite some time, but we don't want to let it go unless it is a absolute, safety issue.
Right. Well, and first off, you know, the problem they're having with them is not that they're going to go off on their own. So that's not really a worry. You know, the problem that they're having with them is in the right environments that the airbag can actually degrade and go off too violently and cause fracture of the metal containment system around the bag. So, and put metal pieces into the air. And they're saying that's in vehicles that are in a high moisture area. And that's us. But usually most vehicles that are down here don't sit around with the windows down, don't end up being, you know, high moisture inside the vehicle where the airbags are either. So,
right.
You know, I don't know that it's a real, real issue. GM has some of the same airbags in theirs. Some of them they're replacing. Some of them they're GM has tested them, and they're still working with the NTSB and trying to come to the conclusion that they are safe and don't need to be changed. So, you know, it's there's a bunch of them on the road.
They send is a little ambiguous. I mean, they're not saying that, you know, you need to go and trade this thing in and get in another one, but they're not saying that it's that not to do that either.
So right.
It's kind of a, I don't know, mixed signals, I guess, if you will. So you really don't know how serious an issue it is, but thank you for.
Well, and I appreciate you calling in, but you know, believe me, if they knew it was a definite issue that was going to give a problem, they would have you off the road and be getting those bags changed.
Okay. Yeah. Great. So, thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
I want to share something. We had a Camry, an 09 Camry, and he said something that caught my attention. We about once a month, Palmer's would send us a mailer wanting to buy our car back, and that's called selling new cars.
Exactly. That has nothing to do with the airbag.
But I just thought I'd mention that because it was not an issue for us.
Yeah, most of the time that has nothing to do with wanting your car back. It's wanting you in a new one.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, it's the airbag recall is out there, and it is something to take seriously. And but if they have not issued a recall to have those replaced, then they feel comfortable that you're driving around, because the last thing they want to do is get someone hurt. And it's going to cost them big. So, but sound like we're going to have to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
In- It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. Have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Let's see, we got, I just wanted to thank you for helping me with my vehicle's problem on a fan motor resistor. Changed both and nailed it. But, you're very welcome, and thank you for calling in. That's what the show's all about, trying to help people out. But that's a fairly common problem that, you know, people will change one or the other and don't change both, yep. And they'll be back with another problem,
right.
You know, and have to do it all over again. That's the last thing you want to have to do, for sure.
Yeah, you don't want to have to, you know, well, they don't put zippers on those things.
No.
You know, so it's not easy to get to all this stuff. And once you get in there, you don't want, that's like, you know, putting a timing belt on or a timing chain on, and they also operate the fuel pump, you know, or the oil pump.
Right.
You know, hey, you're there, change them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have one that, and it was a vehicle that was still in warranty. You know, it's one that we've seen some time and chain problems when it gets to 120 or 30,000 miles, which is 20, 30, 40,000 miles out of warranty, depending on what year and all.
Right.
But it had a time and chain cover leak right at the end of its warranty time. And you know, we sold the customer on let's go ahead and change the timing chains while we're here. We had the cover off, so there was really very little labor involved.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you buy the parts, pay a very small amount of labor, and we'll go ahead and take care of that. That way, mm-hmm. you won't have to go back in there at full expense to do it later on down the road, and not really
go.
That far down the road. So, but let's see, we do have a caller online. Caller, you with us?
Yes, sir. I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
Absolutely. What can we do for you?
Hey, I got a 2012 Chevy Silverado.
Uh-huh.
And I got a problem with my air conditioner. Mm-hmm. Some days it runs just fine, and then other days I get a signal where it says I can just go out and crank it up, and it'll say engine hot, AC shut off. Do I need to replace my thermostat?
It's probably not the thermostat. More than likely it's either a bad sensor, temperature sensor, or a shorted wire somewhere causing a issue with the temperature gauge.
Okay.
Where the main harness runs across the coils on the driver's side, you've got a probably 2-inch across wiring harness, a large wiring harness for all the engine wiring that runs across the top of the driver's side valve cover. They're notorious for having their studs that hold that coil pack on, and that stud will sit there over time. And you know, we're talking about an 8-year-old, almost a 7-year-old vehicle. Over time, it will wear through the conduit and wear into the wiring harness and actually short out whatever wire happens to be closest. And that may very well be the temp sensor wire. So look closely at it, and looking at it from the top side, it'll look absolutely perfect. You won't think anything's wrong with it, but grab that wiring harness and pick it up just a little bit and run your hand under it, and you'll feel a hole in you'll have a hole worn in that plastic conduit. Okay. I usually take and put a rubber vacuum cap over the top of that stud and then open the harness up and repair whatever wire is damaged and wrap it back up. That way, if it does touch again, it's going to be touching a piece of rubber, not a metal stud.
Okay, buddy.
But look closely at that, and check codes. See if see what code is setting. You know, if it's a thermostat code, it'll set that, but it's usually not going to tell you to shut it off because it's hot. So, okay.
All right, thank you for taking my call, buddy. Y'all have a good night.
All right, you too. But there's common issues on any vehicle out there. If it's on the road, and built, it's going to have a common failure. I don't care which car.
If you use something, it's going to wear.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's
look
just,
at me. I'm a wild.
Yeah. It's just like the caller earlier that was talking about the lifter problem on some of the GM trucks. Yeah. And Yeah, absolutely. They had a problem with them. We have not seen that problem on any of the newer stuff here lately.
Well,
so
I'm sure that they've worked towards that and alleviated that problem.
And they've changed things up to where, you know, a lot of it was maintenance. If it wasn't maintained properly or used the wrong type oil, they've actually upgraded and started suggesting using a full synthetic oil in them.
Right.
And shorten up the oil change intervals.
Well, that helped eliminate that problem.
You know, and it helps stop the problem with lifters. You know, it's, you know, basically it was hurting the bearings in the roller lifter, and then the roller wouldn't roll as fast as it needed to, and then it caused wear on the camshaft, and it went south from there. So it all goes back to lubrication maintenance.
I like to have a motor that's got a 8 or 10 years of investigation by the engineers at the plant, because they're going every time they get something back that something's gone wrong with one of them, that's going in a computer, and then first thing you know, well, we got 10 of these, we got to find out what's going on with it, and let's fix this, you know.
Yep.
So if you've got something that's been built for 6, 8, 10 years, you know you're going to have the best product.
Yep. You know, and I've worked with a lot of manufacturers over the years, and some high-end manufacturers and a lot of domestic stuff. And General Motors has been one of the best about
trying to help
people with stuff. Ford, they cut you off when the warranty's done. Yeah, it's nothing. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, it sounds like we've run to the end of our show here, and I want to thank everybody for listening, and we will be back with a car show next week.
And we pray that everybody had a happy Thanksgiving, and God bless you all, and a big hoorah to all of our vets. The slower we go, but there ain't nothing wrong with the